Hey, y'all. Thanks for listening to Weddings for Real. This month on the podcast, we're focusing on mindset for busy wedding pros. Now, ever since I got into podcast, and believe it or not, it actually took me a while, I've been focused on growth, getting to the life that I want and not settling for less. If you're listening to this podcast, I'm thinking that's your mindset too. And that could mean so many things. A bigger house, freedom from the 9 to 5, working more, maybe working less, spending more time with your family, taking more vacations, raising your rates. You know you and what you want. And if you don't know, well, it's time to figure that out. Because today, I'm sharing a conversation with someone who's going to give you some tips on moving away from the hand that you're dealt and into the life that you want. I'm Megan Gilligan, and I'm so thrilled that you're joining me for episode 196 of the Weddings for Real podcast. Hey there, I'm Megan Gilligan, and this podcast is for fellow wedding pros that know what it really takes to thrive as a professional in the wedding industry. Because it's not what they show you in the movies. Spoiler alert, it takes more than a wave of a wand or the toss of confetti to take someone's special day from big idea to big success. This podcast is a wedding professional's safe space to laugh and dish about the glitz, the not so glam, and all things weddings, for real. My guest today is Tony Chatman, speaker, author, and business relationship expert. Tony delivers the tools, strategies, and essential psychological shifts needed to better understand the people around us and learn to connect, collaborate, and create in new and powerful ways. Before Tony went down the speaking path, Tony was a chemical engineer, but he and his wife felt like they had a higher calling. They left their corporate jobs to start a faith-based nonprofit, and while they enjoyed the work, it was also a 70% pay cut, and Tony started to feel a bit burned out.
I had a group of advisors. I called them my personal board. And so I said, let's meet. We need to meet. We got to talk. I've got to figure this thing out. They're not just advisors, they're friends. And so we met at one of the friends' houses. You know, we went through all the niceties, and then he kind of kicked off by asking me a question that it's almost like a proverbial question now. If you could do anything in the world, what would you do? Something reflexively just came out and said, well, gosh, if I could do anything, I'd learn how to get paid to speak. And then I said, but, and before but could come out, everything was in motion. 2 weeks later, I was in Bermuda opening for Les Brown.
Les Brown is one of the most renowned motivational speakers. And fun fact, he was married to Gladys Knight for a couple years. So things were off and running for Tony. But as we all know, in 2020, jobs that required gatherings of many people, well, they didn't go quite as planned.
I remember hearing kind of this buzz about this coronavirus, right? I kept hearing about it. And then like maybe late January, I started saying, because I have friends internationally, these major conferences were shutting down. And I'm like, okay. Now, in my mind, I've got this year kind of booked up. Things are moving forward. 2019 was challenging because of the government shutdown. I do a lot of government work. And so I'm heading into it. And then the week of my birthday, everything shuts down. There's no speaking engagements. There's no getting in person. Oh, but don't worry. It'll only be 4 to 6 weeks, right? Yeah, that didn't happen, right?
Did not happen.
We went from pandemic to shutdown to murder hornets. Remember murder hornets? That was
Yes. Like
a real thing for a minute.
I do remember that.
Yeah, they went away apparently. They saw that we were a mess.
Yeah.
And so it was a similar situation of, okay, there's nothing. We can wait this thing out, but there's nothing. What do I do? How do I evolve? And I think it's very similar for those in the wedding industry. Now, I had one major advantage, and that major advantage is I started my business in 2006. And in 2008, we hit a horrific recession, right? I lost all of my business in a span of a few weeks, very similar to 2020. You know, I went through that, but I survived it. And because of that, I didn't panic. Mm-hmm. Most of my friends became very emotional and made emotional decisions. And that, I think, threw them off. Because as I look at this whole thing, you know, we went through what I would call a disruption, right? And disruption is like change, except you didn't plan for it. It just happens. But I realize, as I've been thinking about this for years, we often think that what gets disrupted is our lives, our past, whatever. What really gets disrupted is our comfort zone, because we've created this ecosystem around us that's very stable. And so we talk about comfort zones, but we don't really talk in depth about comfort zones. They kind of become this nebulous thing. And so here's what I would want your listeners to consider. Five different areas that I believe make up a comfort zone. There's your emotions. There are your beliefs. There are your habits. There are your circumstances. And there are your relationships. Emotions, beliefs, habits, circumstances, and relationships. Now, the reality is, other than circumstances, you have a lot of control over those other four. But those four can be, in many ways, what make or break you, because we're talking about what causes you to settle. It's like the analogous part of it is, I thought, well, what are the things that cause us to settle? Experiences, relationships, socialization or education, our self-talk, because that's huge,
oh, 100%.
And our emotional state, right? And so they relate to one another. And we could talk a little bit about it, because what happens is we're traumatized by previous experiences and don't even realize it. We often hear, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. That ain't the truth. I'm just letting you know, there's certain things that kill you that don't kill you, but they leave you like permanently damaged, right? I mean, it's just the reality. We go through a really bad breakup, and yeah, it didn't kill us, but now it's hard for us to jump back in the water. We go through a really bad business relationship or a really bad business situation, and it makes us reticent that maybe I'll just go back and get a job, right? All these things happen. And we have to realize, no, we actually do carry that in us. And so in the moment, because we have bad experiences and we have emotions that go with it, you can't trust your emotions when you're in disruption. Because many of us say, you know, well, this feels right. When you're going through all this stuff, your emotions are a horrible measure of reality. And so I've dealt with clients organizationally and personally who, because of where they were emotionally, they couldn't do the things that were right in front of them. Okay. So I think for all of us, we have to first take a little bit of an inventory of where are we emotionally, and looking at even, you know, the stages that we go through with loss, because that's very similar. But where are we emotionally? How have I changed over this last 2.5-3 years, so I can deal with who I am? Like, for me, I've looked at this thing and I was able to step back. A lot of my speaking friends right now are, okay, good, the pandemic's over, we can get back to it. You want to be careful with that one. I don't know that that's the case. Transmission rates are rising. You just don't know, right? I know other people who just want to get back to the way it was, or they want something new. And for me, it's, what did I learn from all of this?
Yeah.
Like, this taught me some things about my business. I was the person who, for years, clients wanted me to do virtual presentations, and I told them, no, I don't think it'll go well. It's not the same experience. And now 90% of my business virtually.
Wow.
So it was, I just had to sit back and say, okay, clearing out the emotions, writing things down, being able to think through this clearly, how would I deal with this if I were advising someone else? Because sometimes you can't see the picture when you're in the frame. And so when you think about it for yourself, you're going, well, you know, I don't know what to do. But if I were advising Joe over there, I would tell Joe to do this. Well, you're now Joe. Uh-huh. And so that's kind of the starting point for me of where you go.
I really like what you said about, it's not really true. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger, because actually it can add to your stress, your anxiety, your overwhelm. And I had this analogy that came into my mind while you were talking I imagine that life is you're going on a hike, you're going along and you're encountering things that you trip over and you're needing to stop and take a rest. And when you talked about the traumas, I pictured this backpack that each trauma, you pick up a big old rock and you put it in the backpack and then you keep going and it kind of slows you down, right? Like it slows you down. It makes you believe like maybe I can't wade through that river up ahead of me because this backpack is so heavy, like all the things that I'm carrying and the beliefs that I have or the emotions that are impacting how I make decisions. And you kind of have to sit down, pull out the rocks that you've picked up over the last however many years and figure out what to do with them. Does that work? That I don't know if that analogy works or not.
Yeah, it does kind of. I think first you have to realize you're wearing a backpack. Right? I think a lot of people think, well, I used to be able to just hike this trail all the time. Why am I going slower? You've got a 40-pound backpack on. You just didn't even think about that. Sometimes just acknowledging, like, and I want every listener to hear this, okay? The last 2.5 years were not normal. However you feel, that is okay. If you've been depressed, that is actually okay and not abnormal. If you've been lonely, that is actually okay and not abnormal. If you're energized, that's okay and not abnormal. It's what's right for you, but nobody plans for this. Nobody watched I Am Legend and thought that's going to happen to me in the next couple of years, right? And so being able to just say, okay, you know what? I'm going to stop beating myself up. I'm going to stop having pre-pandemic expectations of myself, and I'm going to acknowledge I'm wearing this heavy backpack. Now, maybe there's stuff in this backpack I can take out. Maybe some of it I'm going to have to roll with for a little bit, and thus I'm going to have to adjust my expectations. But I have to at least start off with the fact that I'm wearing this backpack and it affects how I walk.
Yes, I love that. And there might be things that I'm carrying that, like you said, have slowed me down, and that's okay. But there might be certain things that I'm carrying that it's time to pull out of the backpack and figure out how to assess whether it continues along with me or I leave it behind.
Yeah. So going back, and I want to make sure I'm not getting too ethereal because I think about this stuff all the time. So I get like really like in my own space. The reason I did this thing about the comfort zone, right? We're often told that a comfort zone is bad. You've got to get out of your comfort zone. That's not true. Mm. You need a comfort zone. Your comfort zone is what keeps you from stressing out. Your comfort zone allows you to be more effective and efficient. Your comfort zone allows you to think clearly because it's this psychological place of equilibrium, right? The problem is that comfort zones expire. What was our comfort zone a year ago and worked great for us? Well, the world has changed. Now I have to adjust and get a new comfort zone. I have to get out of this one and then rebuild a new one. And so that's why when you go back and you say, now I'm being to maybe look in this backpack and say, man, you know what? This can of tuna was a good idea a year ago, but it expired. Let me pull it out of the backpack. There's no use in me carrying it, right? This rain jacket was a great idea, except I'm in the desert. It's not going to rain. Let me take that out, right? And so we start to evaluate. That's kind of a simple analogy for it, but we absolutely do have to at times come back and take an inventory and say, you know what? What worked for me 6 months ago, what was right for me a year ago is not necessarily right for me now. And it's not a bad thing. It's just that the world has changed. I've changed. These other people have changed. Technology's changed. I have to constantly transform to keep up.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And I like that take on a comfort zone, that you need a comfort zone, right? Like having a comfort zone is not a bad thing, but comfort zones expire. That's so good.
Yeah. I mean, you know, because you don't want to be in constant change and disarray. That's chaos, mm-hmm. right? You need stability, and that's what the comfort zone gives us. So it's not that it's bad. It's just that holding on to an expired comfort zone holds you back.
Okay. I love that. And I like that that also ties to like your personal board. If you're not choosing who those people are, then they're choosing you. And there are seasons of relationships that are going to serve you either short or long term, depending on who those people are.
Yeah. So it's a great point. Last week, my wife and I, we sat down and we created a list of the people that we felt we needed in our lives because it's been so strange. And we've been so isolated. So when the pandemic started, we were in Manhattan. So you can imagine that was a different, you know, experience. We were in the epicenter of it all. But then because of some health related issues, we moved to Michigan to help support my parents. So there's a lot in there, but there's also a lot of isolation because of it. So what we said is, you know, do we need new friends? Or new relationships, and not friends, but kind of that advisory board? Or do we need to be more intentional about the people that we already have and reselect? And so we actually looked at a number of people who are already close to us. And we said, you know what? That couple, we need to get more time with. Over the last 5 to 7 years, we spent almost no time with them, but we need them. And they're gonna help us emotionally. They're gonna help us get to the next level. And so then it's making that selection and communicating with them. This is our intention. We want this relationship with you. And it's not an organized official board. It's just more, these are the different relationships. And so, because I believe if we're going to talk about not settling for less, the number one thing is relationships, period. I look at when my business moved up levels, it's because I intentionally changed who my number one relationships were, and I leveled up those relationships. When I went to different income levels, it was, and here's what's funny. When you do that, the wildest thing happens. I realized I was talking to people. I'm like, hey, here's what I'm thinking about doing. And they would always tell me, well, here's why that wouldn't work, or here's why I wouldn't do that, or here's something to think about, right? When I leveled up who I was talking to, I would say, here's what I'm thinking about doing. And their response would be, well, why aren't you already doing it? Or let me help you. Here's some resources here. And it's a totally, that also ends up changing how you think. It's a totally different experience. So being able to do that and being, I think if you're listening, who are you close to? Which ones are negative? Which ones are positive? Which ones are damaged right now? And they're draining, but you're hanging on to them because you feel obligated because you were so close years before. You make those assessments and you say, right now, I have to make sure I'm good, period. I cannot pour from an empty cup. So I have to be good. So who do I need around me so that I'm good? So that my family's good, my business is good, my emotional state's good. And then you select them, you communicate with them. Some of them will say no. That means they weren't the person. Don't even feel bad. It's not rejection. It's more of a vetting system. They just weren't the right person. But you do that, you will be shocked, because here's what you're going to find. There were people that really struggled over the last few years. There are other people who blew it out. They cranked. They transformed. It was mind-blowing, right? I was in a mastermind in 2020, and I'm not in that group anymore. It wasn't a great fit, but everyone in that mastermind had a record year in 2021. Everyone. We're all speakers. We are all in different topics. Some had topics that were hot. Some had topics that weren't, but there was something about us being together that literally every single one of us had a record year. Think about that. Think about, who are you with? Are you with people who are normalizing the struggle, or people who are normalizing success?
Oh, Tony, so good. Yes. And I love the actionable steps of what you just talked about. You know, to me, that's a big thing that I want from the experts that I bring on to this podcast. Is I don't want it to be so up in the air that you listen to it and you're like, yeah, that was great, but I'm not quite sure what to do with that information. You've given great insight. And I love that touch on relationships. I can agree that for me, all of the big moves that I've made in my career or the ideas or just the inspiration have come from the connections and the relationships that I've had, whether that is friends, whether that is mentors, whether that is official business coaches. Like, those are the people that exactly, it's like, why aren't you doing it yet? Like, why are you keeping yourself small? How do we get you out of that?
Yeah. It's huge. And the problem is we often talk ourselves out of these conversations. We think that a person doesn't, you know, you got to shoot big. And when you got to shoot big, like, so I was doing, I guess I'll just say some things here. I was doing some work for NSA, and by NSA, I mean the National Security Agency, not just the National Speaker Association. And I was doing a thing on unlocking your executive potential. This was like in 2010. And I talked about the need for mentoring, and we all need to go find a mentor. And I'll never forget, I came off stage and, you know, three of the people that I was with beforehand, you know, we're kind of prepping everything. One was the chief of staff, and she came up to me in tears, like, thank you so much. I have been trying to find people to mentor, and it's like they avoid me like I'm the plague, like they're afraid of me. And here you have like one of the greatest resources within their agency saying, I want someone to pour my time into you. And yet people look at her and were afraid to ask her. Mm-hmm. Because maybe they were insecure. Maybe they thought she was too busy. Maybe they thought she wasn't interested. And the more and more I've seen, those who are really successful, especially when you hit a success where money's no longer utilitarian, right? You're not figuring out how to pay your bills, do whatever. Like, you're making money and now you're building wealth. They're starting to think in terms of legacy. Like, who do I pour myself into so that, you know, what I'm doing lives on through someone else. They want people to invest in. Mm-hmm. And so shoot big. And if you get rejected, you weren't rejected. They were just a bad fit.
Yes, I love that too. I really love that part of it. And I love just kind of taking a look. I love that you and your wife sat down and identified, like, what do we need right now? Is it that we need more friends, or are there certain relationships that we need to be more intentional about? And are there certain ones that are sucking the energy out of us right now that we need to either take a pause from or determine that maybe there needs to be a season wrap for that particular relationship? And I can appreciate, and I think that this is one of those things, again, this episode will be coming out really, I feel like, at a perfect time. Don't you think? It's one of those things at the end of the year where you're looking back and you're saying, what just happened? Why did those things happen? And what do I want for next year?
Yeah, absolutely. So let me look at a little context of why we had the conversation. And then can I give the listeners another little thing I think would be great at the end of the year?
Okay. Yes.
I asked that question knowing the answer already. But I'm asking you. You know, no, we've got way more. We do not want to give our listeners any more actionable items. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Please just go on with the niceties. Thank you very much. Yeah. You know, when I said we moved from New York to Michigan because of a variety of circumstances, including how the housing market is and everything else, we're actually living with my parents for a period of time. Now, yeah, they have a huge house, okay? But we're in a different area. We don't have, like, this is not where our friend groups are. And so we started evaluating, like, okay, why do I feel the way I feel? Why am I, like, we're running a successful business. My wife actually last year left her job, and she's now my business partner, and she left a lucrative job to be my business partner. We're doing all this. We should be the happiest people in the world right now. We're doing everything right. Why do I feel this way? And we realized that the relationships were the weak part. And so that's why we started having that conversation. What do we do to fix this? We're not just going to live with this as though it's okay, because that's what we do. It's almost like we treat it like a low-grade fever, right? Mm-hmm. Or allergies. You just get so used to it that you forget what it feels like to be 100% healthy. And so that's why we did that. Now, often when we think of, here's what I'm going to do differently, we think of things like, what's the return on investment, right? Because we need to have that return on investment, and we need to make it, you know, put all our energy in. there's another concept I want everyone to consider. When I was an engineer, because of the company I was working for, we did a lot of study on this idea of quality. And there was a quality guru in the 90s named Duran. And it was Crosby and Duran. Those are the two big ones we would always read. They came up with this concept of PONC, price of nonconformance. Okay. I call it the price of not changing. Because here's what we do. We think, okay, if I change, if I do this, what's the best thing that'll happen? Blah, 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 blah. Here's what we don't ask ourselves. If I do nothing, what happens? What's the price of doing nothing? Because there's a cost. And I don't just mean what opportunities do you lose out on? What are your worst case scenarios that you really need to start thinking about? That's the thing that if you consider that as well, you'd be shocked how much that will motivate you forward. If you say, you know what, if I just ride this out, what's the worst that could happen? My business collapses. Mm-hmm. You got to ask these questions. If you're in a rough relationship and there are things that you know you need to change, you're like, yeah, I'm going to put it off. What's the worst thing that could happen? That relationship could end because you chose not to change. Thinking that, we're often motivated by pain and pleasure. And we think more about the pleasure that pulls us forward. If I get this, this will be great. I'll be so happy. But we're also motivated by our desire to avoid pain. And so going back and saying, you know what? If we keep this going this way and we don't do something different with our friendships, we will have a successful business and be unhappy. That's not cool. So what do we do to change it? See, that motivates us. So look at the efforts that you're thinking about making and don't just think about the best case scenarios of what happens if you do it. Think about the worst case scenarios of what happens if you don't.
Yeah. Ooh.
Think about all the companies that collapsed because they didn't evolve. You know, Blockbuster. I'm going way back. Blockbuster, Montgomery Wards. You know, you start thinking of things that were made, Woolworths, mm-hmm. I've just totally dated myself. By Bennigan's,
Kids R Us
is barely around. Yeah. Sears is barely around. I think there's like a handful of Kmart store. You know, all these organizations that could have just migrated to something online and been very effective, could have just done little things. They got comfortable and they didn't realize their comfort zone had expired.
Oh, love it, Tony. Yeah.
Like how I did that?
Yeah. That was a great circle back. I'm here for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. The price of not changing. And when I put that through who I know the listeners are of this podcast, you know, I think about what I know some of the struggles are right now with being on that hamster wheel, just trying to do too many things in your business, not knowing that it's time to ask for help or it's time to add to your team, or it's time to let go of members of your team that are no longer, you know, the right fit. Because again, going back to that, maybe there's an expiration date there, or maybe it was a business that you started with a business partner and it survived the pandemic. So you're feeling that you need to continue to invest time and energy into that partnership, but you deep down know that it's also expired. And what is the price of not changing? What is the price of avoiding, you know, I think we all know. I can look back at my own business and relationship journey and think of those moments where it's like, it's that whisper, you can hear it. And you tune it out for a number of times, at least I have. And then finally it gets so loud that like you either let it go and it's too late, or you have to actually make that change. That price of not changing hits me there.
Yes. And I'm also very empathetic to the journey of being an entrepreneur. You know, I use this acronym, LITE. Leave it to the experts. What I'm good at, I do. When I started, because I bootstrapped my company, I did everything. And when I say everything, I mean, I taught myself Dreamweaver so I could build my first website, right? Some of y'all are like, oh, I could feel listeners nodding in the future when they're listening to it, like, yeah, of course I did that, right? I had to figure out how to do online purchasing. I built my own product. I built a recording studio and I had a background in doing some of that so that I could record my own product so I didn't have to go to a studio. Then I got Audacity and then other software and learned how to edit my own stuff, right? And you start doing all of the stuff and you realize you're capable of doing it all. You can actually do it all. But is it a good use of your time? Because the truth is, even when I taught myself how to do Dreamweaver, what I would do in 2 hours would take somebody who was an expert 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And it was way better to give them the money. But at the beginning, I didn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't. So I had to evolve and say, okay, now I'm starting to let go. I've got someone who does my internet security, right? I have someone who does this. My wife leaving her lucrative six-figure job to work with me, and thus we no longer have benefits either. That was like a jump. And some of y'all had benefits, right? Huge. That was a jump. But it was necessary because she also has skill sets that I don't. I'm the speaker. I'm the creative. I do have the engineering aspect of it as well. But she has a background in HR and change management and implementation and building infrastructures to organizations. So it was a perfect fit. But it was hard for me because, number one, I had to trust even my wife with my business baby, which mm-hmm. took some time. And then number two, in the back of my mind, even though business is cranking, there's the risk of what if something else happens and we don't have her salary to fall on. All of that stuff goes on in people's minds. So I don't want to minimize what people are actually going through and thinking. But I do want you to understand is when you're thinking that way, it is causing you to settle because you're not doing the things that it takes to grow. And those things involve some risk. You have to take calculated risk, but you have to be able to do it.
Yeah.
The other thing I'd like to throw in is I get the idea of especially burnout because there's so much opportunity after going through a famine, right? You go from famine to feast. You're like, give it to me. I got to make up for stuff. And I got to, you know, be a good squirrel and put my nuts away so that when this happens again, I'm good, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would like to challenge all of your listeners to rethink one thing, because it's the thing I'm doing right now with myself. What is success? You really need to ask yourself, what is success? Do you need to get to seven figures to be successful? Do you need to have other employees to be successful? Like, you really need to think about that. And I say that because this now goes back to all of that comfort zone stuff we were talking about before. I talked about what makes us settle. I talked about kind of this idea of socialization and education. Are you chasing what you consider successful, or are you using someone else's definition of success and you're trying to live up to it? Because we see people who go to college and do that, right? They do the major that their parents want them to do.
Mm-hmm.
We do the same thing though with our friend groups, our peer groups, what society tells us to do. I'm not saying don't chase success. I'm saying no, make sure that what you're chasing is what you want, because if not, when you get it, you're going to be very disappointed. And that is a disappointment that's really hard to overcome. And so for us, we said, look, we're still trying to build somewhat of an empire, quote unquote, right? But quality of life, happiness, relationships are super important. See, I know people who've become financially successful, but it cost them their family.
Ooh, I do too.
That's not success to me. See, I defined success and I'm saying, I can't have money and then lose my family. That's not success. Mm-hmm. So it changes then how I pursue things. It changes what I turn down. It changes, you know, the risks that I take. And so really, because this is a new year, kind of a new year, new you for a lot of you, and you're thinking about your plans, take a moment and say, no, really, for me, what's success look like? 30 years, 40 years, 50 years down the road, when I look back at my life, what will I regret doing? What will I regret not doing? Those are the things I need to be thinking about versus I'm trying to, you know, get into the rat race. There's all this opportunity. And I'll tell you what it's done for me. Over the last year, actually, I have done now 9 in-person speaking events since COVID. 9. Okay. Mm-hmm. I used to do 9 in 5 weeks. Okay. 9. I've done 9 by my choice. I've done over 100 virtual paid, great money. But I decided at this moment in time, I want to live my life like this. I'm supposed to be supporting my parents. I need to be here a little bit more. I can make money looking at a camera, you know, and not traveling. I want to do that. But I'm doing this in the middle of seeing so many of my friends boast about, oh, I'm doing 7 in-persons this month. And I fear that FOMO, right? It's there, but then I have to come back and say, but I'm not chasing their success. I'm chasing my success so I can celebrate their success and at the same time, be happy with the direction I'm going.
I love that. Tony, that's a great wrap for this conversation. And there were so many really wonderful moments that I know are going to be impactful for our listeners. I have all these notes scribbled here about your personal board, your comfort zone, leave it to the experts, the list of people that we need in our lives, the fact that the comfort zone expires, and what is success to you? So thank you so much for pouring into my listeners here in this episode and sharing your stories too.
My pleasure. I just hope that it was helpful for people and that it really does make a difference, because I believe what we really want in our world, in our society, if people can be their best selves, then the world becomes a better place.
Agree. Where can listeners connect with you and learn more?
So my last name is Chatman, Chatman, T as in Tom. With the internet, you could find me. you go to my website, tonychatman.com, and it has links to everything. I'm re-getting active on, I'm saying something really bad, but anyway, I'm really getting re-involved in Instagram. I'm about to jump into TikTok. Pretty active on Facebook. And I'm saying this because over the pandemic for 2 years, I did a Facebook Live every day. And it just, after a while, it drained me.
I'm sure.
So I had to take a break, but now I'm getting back. So social media, you can find me, but go to my website and you get connected to everything right on my website, tonychatman.com.
Love it. Thanks again, Tony.
My pleasure.
That was Tony Chatman, who you can find at tonychatman.com, and that's C-H-A-T-M-A-N. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I'd love it if you shared your thoughts by joining us in the Weddings for Real Facebook group or finding us on Instagram. We're at Weddings for Real. You can tag or DM us because I'd love to hear from you. That's all for today. As always, this episode is edited and produced by Earfluence and is brought to you by my online membership site for wedding planners, The Planner's Vault. I'm Megan Gilligan, and we'll see you next time on Weddings for Real.